morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And as you can tell, if you're just tuning in, we have a new addition to the show here. Vic Vaughn is in the newsroom with us. So we have like a full crew. The great Esmeralda Leon is in traffic. Dan's my producer. And Vic Vaughn is now in the newsroom as part of our show on the overnights. And we're thrilled that Vic is here. And Vic, as you know, we have been combing the texts and suggestions for your nickname on Fly Jam Friday, because as part of the show, you have to have a nickname.
Do we have some new ideas?
I think we have some. Dan is has been looking through it. In addition to the four that Kristen Decker sent me, we have many, many coming in. Dan, any suggestions for Vic's Fly name?
We'll run down a few of them here. Slick Vic has come up quite a bit.
Slick Vic.
Slick Vic.
That's pretty fly.
Yeah.
So what was the shake one? That was not too bad.
Eric Childress, La Vic, La Chic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biker Dong, Long Gone Vaughn, or Vlick the Click.
Ooh, Long Gone Vaughn, that's got a rhyme. That's got a little rhythm to it. I like that.
Okay. 815 Victorola.
That's five, real old school.
That yeah, that's old really school. Old school, yeah.
563, Vic Vaughn likes to get it on. 815, Grand Vic Torino.
Ooh.
309, oh. News Kicking Vic.
Okay.
815, V squared.
V squared.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, all
double
right.
Double V, yeah, okay.
From Peter Vava Vaughn.
Va va Vaughn. Vaughn.
773 Victories Won.
Mm. Victories so Won. Man, that's impressive. Yeah. You got some good listeners
in there. And Decker also sent Vic Vinyl.
Oh, yeah. That
you know what? She knows I'm big into records. That's awesome.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right,
so we'll choose at some point, Vic, but they are coming in.
Okay.
And welcome to the show again, my friend.
Thank you,
it's
sir.
It's our first morning with Vic Vaughn as part of our group now. We actually have, it's like a real radio show here.
One last one to squeeze in that Esmeralda's going to hate. Vic PM Dawn Vaughn.
Oh, boy.
She's a big PM Dawn fan or
she
no?
She hates PM. I'm the big PM Dawn fan.
Okay.
So there you go.
I just
all
don't
right.
care for them.
Okay. Sure, Esmeralda. Now we do know what kind of music you do care for, Esmeralda.
Yes.
Yeah, and you enjoy the 90s R&B stuff a lot.
Right.
Which is, you know, we play a lot of that on Friday. That's how the whole Fly Jams Friday started.
I know that one night when you, or the one day you played all the stuff from the first one, I was like, man,
yeah,
good.
And that's how it all started. And since then, I mean, it started out as kind of almost exclusively like the New Jack era, you know, 90s R&B. And then we just like said, oh, well, you know, come on, we have to include every bit of R&B. So that's what we do on Fridays. But now you are also a big fan of like late 90s, early 2000s music.
Right.
Now tell everybody where you went this past weekend where you and V got your groove on.
So I went to, it's this bar called Beauty Bar. And there's a bunch throughout the country. And they look like retro, like 50s, 60s beauty shops.
Okay.
So you sit down and there's actually, they have those
do they have like salon dryers. Chairs and stuff?
Yeah, they have hair dryers.
They
like the kind that you stick your head under.
Functioning?
No, not functioning.
Oh, okay.
That would be
say.
So many lawsuits. But it's kind of in that style. They have a lot of artwork in that sense. And they also do manicures. You can get a manicure and martini.
Wow.
Special thing there.
Okay.
But they did a whole, they always have different nights. There's been 90s nights. There's been ladies nights, and it's all very fun. But I went to the one, it was the 2000s, so they played stuff from 2000 up to the mid 2000s, although they were sneaking in some 90s things.
Well, yeah,
I heard some 90s things.
Okay.
Doubted, you know, what year they were in.
Now what were you most happy about that they played like, now when you were telling me about this on Friday morning,
right?
We were chatting a little bit, and you were saying, yeah, I was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And you were telling me, and then I was like, well, then they're going to be playing, because of course my first suggestions were, you're going to hear a lot of Britney Spears,
and there was,
you're going to hear a lot of NSYNC,
and there was,
and then I went Christina Aguilera, Pink,
which they didn't do.
I don't
remember hearing Pink or Christina Aguilera.
That's shocking, especially
right.
Pink.
There's a lot of hip hop. There's there's a lot of hip hop. Outcast.
No, sure. Oh God, yeah. Man, oh man. You right. could not go to a bar anywhere in 2003 and not hear that whole double album, essentially. But mostly Hey Ya.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you everybody's shaking it like a Polaroid picture.
Right. They played Miss Jackson.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. They I did like at the end the last song they played was NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
Of course.
To say, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Tell you to get out.
Now, it was early 2000s. Did they do any solo JT?
No.
What?
No, they did not.
Come on.
No, they Man, didn't. They yeah, and that was quite a thing. I remember they played Britney. There was a lot of Britney only because I remember every time a song would come on, I would go to my friend and be like, I remember this in college and then did this and then whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of memories.
Lots of memories. Yeah, most of the stuff that you would have been listening to, I remember turning off in the early 2000s.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
It's what most people call their guilty pleasures, but I'm trying
to think of anything.
I mean,
you mentioned Outkast. I love Outkast. What the hell ever happened to those guys? Andre 3000 made that terrible Jimi Hendrix movie.
Did they break up?
I think they did. Didn't they? Didn't what's his name go nuts? Who's the other guy?
Big
it's
Boy.
Andre 3000 and Big Boy.
Big Boy.
No,
I don't think
Big
think
Boy
they just
like
broke up.
Big Boy was mad because Andre 3000 is like, oh, I'm gonna go start doing fashion and movies.
Right.
And Big Boy's like,
oh,
well,
you know
we
what?
Can do records.
Oh, you know what? You know why?
Are you thinking of the Key and Peele?
I was just thinking of the Key and Peele sketch where where Keegan is playing Andre 3000 and he sees Big Boy in a coffee shop. If you've not, Dan, have you seen this sketch?
Not.
Oh, Esmeralda, of course you've seen it.
I saw, yeah. It's
oh,
pretty good.
My God, is it funny. See, I was getting that mixed up in real life because I thought maybe Andre 3000 did in fact lose his mind because he's clearly, according to Key and Peele, he's completely crazy in that bit that they did. But yeah, but like a lot of that stuff, man.
There was Sean Paul. There was Ludacris.
Oh, of course,
Sean Paul.
Yes.
Hey, did they play "All Gonna Make Me Lose My Mind" up in here?
No, they played the Dirty song.
They did,
song
but they didn't play. That's DMX, right?
Oh yeah.
They didn't play "Y'all Gonna Make Me Lose My Mind" up in here.
No,
up in here.
They did not. Everyone got real excited when they heard that "Because I Got High" song.
Oh, that song rules.
People got real excited.
That song
and
rules.
And then it was just the oddest thing. They just played a Michelle Branch song.
What?
Like real quick, I was like, okay, this is bringing the house.
What
down.
About what? Now you hold on. Now you what about "Let's Take Off All Our Clothes" because it's hot.
Yes, they played that.
They had to play that, right?
Right, they played that.
And that's Band-Aid Face.
That's yeah, Nelly.
Nelly, right?
AKA Nelly.
Yeah, Band-Aid Face.
Right. They played Jay-Z. There's a few Jay-Z in there. It was so good.
Beyonce.
Did they play? They played Destiny's Child.
Destiny's Child.
Right.
They didn't play if you like it, put a ring on it?
No.
Oh, well, that's
later.
That's later. That's right.
That's past. I think they were going 2005.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, I'm real tired today.
Nelly Furtado? Did they play?
No.
They didn't?
No.
They didn't play Promiscuous Girl?
Although, I mean, when was that?
Mid-2000s?
Maybe. Well, they didn't play it.
That song rules. You know,
I listened to it before I got there.
That's a great song. That whole album is great. What, Dan, when did that come out? I want to say it was 2005, so maybe it just didn't make the cutoff.
2006.
Okay, fine.
You can go next time and just stand there. And
just go, I don't approve.
Excuse me, no.
I could see you standing next to the DJ booth, your arms folded, just the look of disgust.
Yeah.
No.
You know, who would have had a great time at that? My friend Joe, because my friend Joe would always my friend Joe passed away a few years back. He was he would have been my age. You know, we were both born in 65, and he passed away in 2008. But he was a larger than life guy, and I've told many stories about him. And my imitation of him, you guys have all heard it. Joe was a guy who worked in he was a DJ, and he also produced like dance music and stuff. Had some lovely run-ins with celebrities, including Oliver Stone and Al Jorgensen and so many others. But he, every time you would go anywhere, and if there was like it was any kind of dance club atmosphere, he'd go, listen, I need to get up to the booth right now and take over. This guy's a jackass. He couldn't mix anything. If he had a blender, he wouldn't be able to mix. So I'm sure that if he were at this thing, if Joe were at this thing, he would have had something to say about it. No question about it. I remember Joe and I went to go see Madonna in 2001 on her Drowned World Tour. And Joe and I are walking through, you know, we're at the UC and we're getting to our seats and stuff. And Joe's like, you know, look around here, man. We're the only straight guys in the room. You know, like, because we sat, and he was so happy because we sat behind a group of girls and who were very young and doing the whole let's make out kind of thing because we're young and we're in college. Let's try the lesbian thing for a couple of weeks. You know what I'm talking about when that,
yeah
I'm going to kiss a girl for a couple of weeks. They were in that. And Joe was like, these are the greatest seats I've ever had for a concert in my entire life. He was just like, then at one point he goes, Nick, you realize at one point we're just going to have to make out.
He got two shows that night.
Just to fit in, you and I are going to have to make out. I just want you to know that right now. And I'm like, all right, Joe, whatever. I'm here to see Madonna. Oh, we got to fit in. Let's just make out later.
Right? That's awesome.
I'm like, okay, Joe. He would have been there to help out. So, all right, we got a break here. When we come back, we are going to talk about 90s. Speaking of 90s, a little 90s. 90s movies that Hollywood should never remake. Never, ever, ever. 312-981-7200. 90s movies that should never be remade, and remakes in general. If you want to jump in with your thoughts, good or bad, on the remake level, 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It is Monday morning, and that means in just a little bit, my dad's going to call in. My dad, Nick, every Monday morning tells a joke, so he's going to call in and tell a jokey. It's a jokey, 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 jokey time. That's coming up, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff right here on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to jump in with talk or text, we are still taking suggestions for the Fly Jams Friday nickname for Vic Vaughn. Now that Vic is a part of the show, he needs a fly nickname for Fridays. That's coming in, but we also want to take your texts and your phone calls at 312-981-7200 as I go down a list of 90s movies that should never, ever be remade. Ever. Now, they've already remade one 90s movie, and it came out on Christmas Day, and I still have not seen it, which is good, because I would have destroyed the theater that I saw it in. So now if it comes on cable, I'm in danger of ripping my apartment apart when I see it. And Esmeralda, you know which movie I speak.
Is it? What is Point Break?
What is Point Break? Yes. I'm telling you, when I saw the trailer for the first time for the Point Break remake, I was beside myself with anger. Because that movie rules. Point Break is the best. Now, you've seen Point Break, right, Esmeralda?
No.
I'm sorry, what?
I have not. Sorry.
Wow. You have to rectify that situation.
I know.
You really, truly.
I do.
I'm assuming V's seen it.
Oh, probably.
I'm sure he's seen it like 800 times.
Yeah.
He should make sure that you see it. V, if you're is V up?
Probably not.
Okay. Dan, should she not see Point Break? I mean, what are we nuts here?
I mean, I think it's touchstone for the 90s. I mean, it is definitely one of those, like, wow, all right, that is there right there.
That's it. That's the deal. Remember the girl I was dating at the time? I was dating Leslie Presley at the time when that movie came out. And, you know, she was with me the first time I saw it, and she was like, you need to calm down, because I was losing my mind. That was back, you know, that movie was made 25 years. This summer it'll be 25 years for Point Break. 25th anniversary will be in July for Point Break. And, you know, when that movie came out, I just was like, I lost my mind. And it's also the movie that when I met Gary Busey, when I spent that week with Gary Busey, that's the movie that I mentioned first that broke the ice with him. And that was the movie that I think, because I mentioned it first, that's when he took a liking to me and essentially kidnapped me for 7 days because of my passion for Point Break. So But yeah, I did not see the remake of Point Break. I've heard horrible things about it, of course. But that's a movie that should not have been remade from the 90s, and it definitely was. So that was a good year for Keanu. That was a very strong year for my boyfriend Keanu Reeves because in addition to Point Break, he had the second Bill and Ted movie came out that year, which I think is better than the first one, and I think they're both good, but Bogus Journey is better than Big Adventure. And it's funnier. It's got William Sadler as Death, which is just hysterical, where they're playing like Stratego and stuff. Death. So there's that. And then he had My Own Private Idaho with River Phoenix was that year, too. It was a really good year for Keanu. Really good year. I am an FBI agent. You got to go down, Bodie. People trusted you and they died. That's the best movie ever made, man. I'm an FBI agent. Yeah, I know, man. Isn't it wild? Oh, God. Esmeralda, you got to see Point Break.
It's on the list.
Oh, man. It's so good. And at that time when it came out, you know, this is way, way before Kathryn Bigelow became Kathryn Bigelow, the first woman to ever win the Best Director Oscar, you know, for The Hurt Locker. And I was already on board for Kathryn Bigelow because, you know, she made Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis before that. She did Near Dark, which is one of the greatest vampire movies, vampire western. So I was already I already worshipped Kathryn Bigelow at that point. This is well before she had any kind of, acclaim or recognition or money. And at the time, when that movie came out, Esmeralda, she was married to James Cameron. In fact, Cameron produced and has a story credit on Point Break. But they were married, and it was a very strong summer for the two of them because 2 weeks before Point Break came out, Cameron released Terminator 2. So it was like, nice summer for you two. And then if I would have known James Cameron, I called him up and said, hey, you know, your wife made a better movie than you did. Just saying, your wife made a better action movie than you did. And Terminator 2 rules. Don't get me wrong.
This just in for Mary Sandberg.
Yeah.
There's a Point Break display at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
What? Seriously?
Will you be on a plane tomorrow?
Today? Dan, you sign off. I'm going to O'Hare right now because Midway everything's fogged in, so I got to go to O'Hare. See, I listen to the news. You understand that? You know, there are a lot of hosts on this station who don't bother to listen to the news, but I do, and I can't go to Midway right now so that I can go see the Point Break exhibit in New York. That's fantastic. It is a work of art.
Yes, seriously. It's awesome.
I need to talk to her when she gets here. Is she on her way? She should be here, right?
She's here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is she on her way? She should be here. All right.
She's been here for like a while.
Of course she has. I forgot what time it was. I just looked up to the clock. Well, you know what? It's still like an hour. I don't even know. Had anybody lose any sleep over the weekend because of that? Dan?
Ugh.
Did you really? Yeah, nobody likes the daylight saving time. Esmeralda, maybe that's another reason why you're tired. You lost an hour yesterday.
Yeah, that could be. I did sleep for a very long time, though.
Poor Vic starting the new hours.
I know. Isn't that weird? Vic comes in, and it's in his first morning is the weekend after the stupid time change. Did that affect you at all, Vic, I bet?
I told Jeannie. She's Friday. She said, oh, we're going to lose an hour of our weekend. I said, I'm losing three because I got to go in 3 hours early.
That's right.
I mean, I'm losing four.
You're losing four. Well, we'll try to keep you awake every morning.
It was not that bad.
Yeah.
Although I didn't get a wink sleep last night. I was afraid I was going to miss my alarm.
I know. You got to, you know. All right. Well, listen, we got a break. We got the news coming up, and then we'll come back and talk about movies. Here's the top of the list. The top three on this list are Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction, and Forrest Gump. Would anybody even remotely attempt to remake any of those? I mean, that's just stupid. Stupid. All right. We'll take a break here on 720 WGN. News is next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We've talking about 90s movies that should never, ever be remade. There are so many movies that shouldn't be remade, but we're specifically talking about the 90s. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we were just talking about Point Break, the remake of Point Break that was released just this past Christmas. And I didn't get a chance to see it. You know, it was during it opened on Christmas Day, and it was during the break here when I had time off from the radio station. And I had to catch up on a bunch of movies. A lot of movies opened up, and I never got around to seeing it. I was going to see it.
Yeah, you're going to tear chairs out.
Yeah, I was going to probably destroy the theater because the movie was going to make me so angry because I love Point Break so very, very much. But I never got around to seeing it. But everybody everybody I know who has seen it was like, Nick, it's a good thing that you didn't see it because you would not be happy.
Right. I mean, so many remakes.
Yeah, I know.
Awfully wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, but the first three on this list, Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction, and Forrest Gump. Who would even remotely? And then Dan, I know that number four on this list, you would probably have the reaction that I would have watching the Point Break remake. Yeah. Tell everybody what's on the
Shawshank Redemption.
It's his favorite movie.
Yeah, it was on cable, like Showtime cable the other day, and I, you know, of course, naturally remote dropper.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how quiet that movie is and, like, still it is at that time. And, like, there's no way you could do that today. They'd be like, no, we got to, like, try to speed it up and make it move faster. And for a movie about being stuck in prison for decades, those silent moments, those long moments are the key of the movie.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That was one of those movies, as you know, Dan, that was one of those movies that when that thing came out, it tanked. It completely tanked. And I remember seeing it and loving it, you know, and Roy and I reviewed it on the air and both, you know, gave it great reviews, but it was like out of the theaters 2 weeks later. That movie didn't get its following until months later, you know, when it came out on videotape at that time. And when it came, were you going to sneeze?
No.
Okay. Because it looked like you were about to sneeze.
I know, it went away.
Okay. So it didn't start to get its huge following until it came out on video. And then I think, Dan, would you agree, the incessant showing of Shawshank? I mean, if you go back and look at cable and count the number of times that Shawshank Redemption has been shown on cable, I mean, come on. It's on like every week.
Yeah, I mean, there was a section there for many years where TNT just ran it nonstop over the weekends.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like, I can't even imagine TNT without Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Them and Law and Order, that's all there.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's a great movie. One of my quick favorite stories, my first ex-wife and I had won a thing at a party to go to Sybaris for the night.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, God, all right, we'll go. So we went. You know, we had the three thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into the whole Sybaris experience, which was quite weird. But the best part was you go up and you drive up to the little hut. And you, because all the rooms are like in a, this is, I don't know where it was, Deerfield or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember which one, because there's more than one, I think. But they're like little cabins in the woods. So you have to drive to your little cabin.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like a hotel room.
It's like a hotel. I mean, once you get in there, it's like there's hot tubs and, you know, heart-shaped this. It's just, anyway. It mirrors on the ceiling and the, you know, the whole thing. So, but it's, you got to drive through like this little sort of foresty area to get to your little cabin. But you check in. When you first walk in, you park your car and you walk into like the little hut where you check in. and I'll never forget this ever. We go in and we're all kind of like embarrassed anyway to be there. We're like, mm-hmm. All right, yeah, you know, we won. We felt the need to explain to the person behind the counter as we were checking in. We won this at a party. Ha ha ha. You know. So they're checking us in and I noticed that they had a wall of videos that you could rent. So they had like all these, you know, like they had 9.5 weeks and like, you know, Indecent Passion, you know, these movies that have these ridiculous titles and everything.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of these softcore porn movies and stuff was The Shawshank Redemption. I'm not kidding. And I'm like,
I feel like the only person who would get hot with that is Dan.
Yeah. Dan, was that your suggestion?
Yeah.
I
was.
But isn't that incredibly weird? Like, here's all these, so you know, and then, like, right in the middle is Shawshank Redemption. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm getting hot and bothered right now. Shawshank, that's the sexiest movie I've ever seen.
Or it's the one to cool it off.
Yeah. I don't know. I just found it to be very, I mean, of course, you know, had we had phones and stuff then, you bet your ass that picture would have been taken and it would have been posted online. Here are your sexy choices at Sybaris. 9.5 weeks, you know, Indecent Proposal, Shawshank.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Is that what it is? Because it's sexy voice. Morgan Freeman?
It's the voice.
It's the voice, yeah. here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that River's Edge, another Keanu movie, should never be remade. I don't see how they could or the point of remaking it, really, because it was so impactful when it first came out. And I think his character in the movie, the script, really, his character really carried the movie.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's great in that movie. He's in River's Edge, a terrific movie, never be remade. That one's in the 80s. It's one of those classics from the 80s.
I thought that was right about 90 or 91.
No,
sure.
It's like 85 or 86. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, Steve, thanks.
Wait. Did you watch this new movie? I saw it at Redbox, 99 Homes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Great movie.
Man, that blew me away. That was incredible.
Really great movie. Michael Shannon, Chicago's own Michael Shannon, really great. And Andrew Garfield. It was on my top 20 list from this past year, Steve.
Oh, man, that was great. I'm so glad I rented that.
Yeah, very good movie. All right, thank you, Steve.
Take care.
All right,
okay.
99 Homes. You haven't seen that one, have you?
I haven't.
It's very good. It's very, very good. It's no Point Break.
Of course. Well,
let's
no.
Not get crazy.
Nothing can be Point Break.
I mean, come on. You know what else? I still have an insane, insane crush on Lori Petty because of that movie.
Oh, wow.
She's on the Orange is the New Black now.
Yeah.
And
she's
still...
Tank Girl.
She's Tank Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Tank Girl. I loved her in Tank Girl. Lori Petty in that movie, in Point Break. Oh my God. Oh my God. Seriously, it's one of those. It's like her and I have a tendency to the kind of women that I'm visually attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I agree with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes.
I happen to like a curvy woman. She doesn't fit into that category.
Yeah, not at all.
And neither does the other woman that I think is like insanely sexy in a Keanu movie, Trinity in The Matrix.
Okay. Yeah. No.
She's Carrie Ann Moss in that movie, and it's both of, for me, both of them are the characters too, because mm-hmm. they're both very attractive women. There's no question about it. But both of them, those characters, are what really do it. For me. But Trinity, I think, is like this. Forget it.
Do you like her in anything else?
Yeah, I like her in Memento. I like her in. Oh, you mean Lori Petty?
No.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah,
no, I like Carrie Ann Moss in everything, but Trinity is just.
But that's the one.
That's it. Forget it, man. Forget it. I mean, the movie opens with her kicking everybody's ass on Earth.
That is pretty cool.
Oh, please. There's another one. You remake The Matrix. Try it. I like the sequels. I'm like the only person on the planet that likes the sequels, but I do. They're not nearly as good as the first one. The first Matrix is just a mm-hmm. standalone, like truly legendary film. Dave says, a 90s movie is not to remake Apollo 13. It was perfect. Roger says, do not remake Remains of the Day and Dead Man. Could you imagine somebody remaking Dead Man?
Which one was that?
Jim Jarmusch movie with Johnny Depp, black and white Western.
Oh,
have you seen it?
No,
it's awesome.
Oh my God.
It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite. I think it's my favorite Jim Jarmusch movie of all time.
That sounds interesting.
It's a very weird film. Crispin Glover's in it. The music is by Neil Young. Shot in black and white. Robert Mitchum's in it. It's
wow.
Oh yeah, yeah. 262, The Quick and the Dead, with Leonardo, Russell Crowe,
yeah.
Sharon Stone, directed by the Sam Raimi. 815 area code, A Few Good Men. Should not be remade. And 630 area code says Jerry Maguire. We got a couple of Tom Cruise movies in there.
I just don't care for Jerry Maguire.
I do. I like Jerry.
I need to see it again.
I really like Jerry Maguire. I really love that movie. Oh, next on the list, you should not remake Titanic. So, could you imagine them trying to why would you do that?
Yeah, it just seems too much.
Yeah. Dan, now you still haven't seen it. You would just be upset if they remade the song, right?
Well, they would have to do a new song.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it
My
would
heart's
be...
not going to go on.
Yeah, my heart can't go on. because it's underwater.
Dan, you'd be upset, right, if they even attempted to mess with the perfection of
the trying to think. I might be okay with it because it would bring attention back to the original.
Oh, come on. Attention has never gone away from that song, has it?
But it might just, you know, start to appear on other radio stations than,
yeah,
you know, the light.
And you want to see a resurgence in the popularity of that song?
I would, yes.
So you'd like to, if you had a DeLorean, would you go back to early 1998 and just turn the radio on and cry with happiness?
Yes.
Because that's all you heard? Between December 97 and, I'm going to say, May 98, that's the only song that was on the radio.
I think I'd be okay with that.
No. No, thank you.
That's one of my favorite things about Dan. One of my favorite things about Dan, many things, because Dan is awesome, but I love the fact that he loves that song. And, like, not, and Dan, it's not ironic. You're not being snarky.
Nope.
It's not meta. It's not irony. You genuinely love that song.
I do.
I want to hear a mixtape of Dan's favorite songs. Just, I want to hear the mishmash. You know, My Heart Will Go On and then whatever else.
Yeah, that's like song 8 territory where you're kind of bringing things to a lull before you bring it back up to the crescendo.
See?
Oh, yeah.
It's DJ Chagru getting ready for Friday.
Oh, it's good.
Okay. All right, we got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. Come back. My dad will tell a joke, and then we'll wrap up this 90s remake stuff here on WGN. I want to mention a couple more of these movies that they say shouldn't be remade. Here's a little – I just want to tell you this quick story. The Last of the Mohicans, they say, should not be remade. Daniel Day-Lewis, Madeline Stowe.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was good already.
Well, they've, you know, I mean, they've made the movie a couple of times already. It's based on a classic Fenimore,
right.
Novel. So I wouldn't doubt it that it would be made again. But they're saying that this is the definitive. Okay, I have to tell you a quick story. I met Penelope Ann Miller.
Ooh.
Penelope Ann Miller was in The Freshman. She was in Carlito's Way. Mm-hmm. Been in a bunch of stuff. Okay, you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So she was in town about 25 years ago for the Chicago Film Critics Awards. This was back when I was actually, like, picking up celebrities from the airport. I was a part of the film critic. I still am. But at that time, when we had the award show, they would fly in the winners, and I would pick them up sometimes. And, like, I was one of the people who escorted the celebrities around.
Okay.
So I met Penelope Ann Miller. And at the time, I was like, well, what are you working on? And so she was in town because she won Best Newcomer, Most Promising Actress for The Freshman with Brando and Matthew Broderick, mm-hmm. which is a great film if you've not seen it. So she's in town, you know, really beautiful, very, very kind and everything. And we were having a discussion and she's like, well, I'm weighing my options right now. I've been offered two movies. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what are they? And she said, okay, one of them is called Year of the Comet. And it's this romantic comedy about this priceless bottle of wine. It's really a funny script and really good. And I'm like, okay, what's the other one? She said, the other one is Last of the Mohicans. And Michael Mann is directing it. And and she's like, I think they're close to signing Daniel Day-Lewis. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so she's like, which one do you think I should do? I'm not kidding. She said, which one do you think I should do? And I said, well, look, Michael Mann, you know, I run hot and cold on the guy. And Last of the Mohicans, it's been done. Peter Yates, by the way, Peter Yates was the director attached to Year of the Comet. And I was like, Peter Yates is a much more interesting filmmaker. He's directed a lot of really great movies. I'd go with Year of the Comet. And she ended up in Year of the Comet. And I like to think that it wasn't my fault.
Well,
I really do like to think it wasn't my fault. I'm thinking, you know, she's not going to take the advice from some idiot who, you know, picked her up at the airport.
Well,
and then
I
said, you know.
I'm assuming that not because she probably would have found you. And sent you a nasty letter. Like, how dare you?
How dare you? Yeah. Yeah, Year of the Comet didn't turn out all that well. And then, Last of the Mohicans went right through the ceiling and made Madeline Stowe a lot of money. And,
good job,
I believe she got nominated for an Academy Award for that movie, too. So,
good job.
Yeah, Year of the Comet. So listen to Nick DiGilio. You want career advice? I'm the guy to listen to. All right, Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Okay, take care. And we got the news next.